was there an underground church in your area? He responded, no, none of that. Then Bailey asked, so what happened that brought him faith in Christ? He responded by saying, at the funeral, you were allowed to recite your words. As a young child, I heard those strange words, and I had no idea who they were talking about or what the words meant, where they came from, or why we were reciting them at the funeral. When the Soviet Union fell and freedom came at last, he said, I had the opportunity to search for their meaning. He said, when you're in total darkness, the tiniest point of light is very light. And for me, the Lord's Prayer was that point of light. By the time I found out its meaning, I was lost. So today, we now fire this is this morning, the Lord's Prayer, found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 2-4. And this one I want to speak of this subject, the disciples' prayer. So, well, Pastor, if it's the Lord's Prayer, why are you preaching on the disciples' prayer? Because the Lord Jesus Christ could pray some of this prayer, but he didn't pray all of it. You'll notice in verse 4, Jesus called his disciples to pray, forgive us our sins. Jesus had never prayed that kind of prayer, for Jesus had no sin, so he needed forgiveness. He was the sinless Son of God. He was the Lamb without spot or wrinkle or blemish. He was the perfect one who obeyed the will of the Father in every minute detail. So it's really not right to refer to it as the Lord's Prayer. It is really the disciples' prayer. Now, what we find in Luke 11 is similar to it, but not identical to it. We find in the same prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. This is an abbreviated version of it. Jesus taught some things in Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount about praying that he apparently chose not to speak on this particular occasion. This was another occasion where Jesus was teaching on prayer. Jesus was the world's greatest teacher, and one of the things that made Jesus such an extraordinary teacher is Jesus was not afraid to ask questions. Jesus knew that we get to hear things repeatedly before they settle in. And I'm persuaded that some of you are going to learn some things today about prayer. You've heard many times in the past, never really heard of my prayer. You'll hear it not just with your mind, but you'll hear it with your heart and be transformed by what you hear. And so this is the disciples' prayer. Now, notice he said in verse 1. Luke tells us that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Jesus was preeminently a man of prayer. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ as a great miracle worker, certainly with that. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ as the man who is a wonderful teacher, and he certainly was the world's most magnificent teacher. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ as a preacher, the most greatest preacher, certainly that. But Jesus was preeminently a man of prayer. And all of the miracles that he performed and all of the mighty teachings that Jesus gave flowed out of a heart of prayer and a lifestyle of prayer. And Luke tells us here in verse 1, on a given day, Jesus was praying. Jesus prayed often. I want you just to go back with me and let's just review some of the occasions that Luke tells us that Jesus prayed. Go to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Look at verse 21. Luke 3. Verse 21. This is the occasion when Jesus was being baptized in the Jordan River by John. Luke tells us that when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and as Jesus was
Father in heaven only to those
persons who have repented of their sin and have received the Lord Jesus Christ into their life. Now I want you to see this in 1 John chapter 2. Look in 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. 1 John 2, 23. There's so much that we could say about this in John's Gospel, chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8. If you want to go home and see this, you want to read those four chapters, John 5, 6, 7, and 8. For this morning's message, just this one verse, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that? If you haven't confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you don't have a relationship with the Father. He is not your heavenly Father. He is your Creator. He is your moral judge. You will give an account to Him someday at the end of the age if you don't repent of your sin and receive Christ into your life. But He is not your Father. You do not have the privilege to come and make these requests that are found for us in Luke chapter 11, verses 2, 3, and 4, unless God is your Father who is in heaven. So prayer is to God's Father. When Lyndon Johnson was President of the United States, his press secretary was called on by the President to give thanks for the food at a staff luncheon in the White House. Apparently, Bill Moyers was not speaking loud enough for Lyndon Johnson to hear what he was saying. So he spoke, interrupted his prayer, and said, "Speak up, Bill. I can't hear a thing." Bill Moyers said, "I wasn't addressing you, Mr. President." Well, good for Bill Moyers. When we pray to God. And Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Father, who is our Father who cares for His Son and daughter? We are His children by virtue of spiritual birth, new birth." You're not automatically born a Christian. You have to be born again into the family of God. So we pray as if we call Him Father, and it's founded upon a relationship that we have through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, the prayer of a disciple magnifies the name of God. When we pray this disciple's prayer, we want our prayer to magnify the name of our God. Look at verse 2. Not only do we say Father, but we say to Him, "Hallowed be Your name." Now, in one sense, we can't hallow God's name, in the sense that His name is already holy. When the cherubim surround the throne of God, that scene described there in Isaiah chapter 6, they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." We can't make God's name more holy or hallowed than it is. But we ought to, in our prayers, to speak His name in such a way that we are seeking to point people, to point our own hearts, to turn our own hearts toward God's character, which is holy, and toward His attributes, toward His perfection. So we are praying that God's name would be known and honored and glorified and magnified. Hallowed be Your name. Three practical ways you might are hallowing the name of God when you use these things for God. But let me take it to the step on the earth today. When Jesus said to us, pray this way, Father, hallowed be your name. I think he also had in mind your praise when you pray this, for God's name is the name holy in how and righteous God is God. God is praised for those who follow him, profess to know him, follow him, live lives that reflect his holiness and his prayer of a disciple confesses the kingdom of God. The prayer of a disciple of Jesus Christ, of course, a disciple means a learner, follower, confesses the kingdom of Jesus. Look in verse 2. There in verse 2, Jesus called his disciples to pray, your kingdom. Someday the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. When King Jesus comes again at the end of the day, all the forces of hell itself must be responsible. Someday the coming of God will crown the dead in Christ and be raised. We are alive and remain when we come together in the clouds of the Lord. When King Jesus comes again, that is a certain, settled reality. That's why we have hope. We didn't know that. We wouldn't have hope. We have any hope. So Jesus prayed, your kingdom come. He helped us to pray, your kingdom come. He's looking forward to that coming kingdom. But that's not all. When Jesus called his disciples to pray, your kingdom come, he was teaching them to pray his kingdom come. Today, in their lives, in their business, in their work, in their relationships, when we pray, your kingdom come, we are praying for God's will to be done on earth. When we pray, your kingdom come, we are praying for Satan to be cast down. Now he has been cast down from heaven to earth. Therefore, Satan has rebelled against God. But we are praying that your kingdom come, we are praying for Satan to be defeated in our daily lives. To pray for the will of God to prevail, the tender will of God to prevail. Now, sometimes I hear from some of these things that the will of God is always done. No, God's not always done. It's not God's will that over a million unborn babies be killed and aborted in the United States right now. And going back all the way to almost 40 million. It's not the will of God that people live in sexual immorality and call it cohabitation. It's not the will of God that our hearts be filled with pride and envy and greed and hatred. Our lives sometimes reflect things that look just on him. That's not the will of God. It's not correct to say the will of God is always good. Now, that doesn't mean that God's sovereignty is in any way threatened or diminished or challenged. God's sovereign rule is not threatened by either the prince of darkness or Satan. But it is a recognition that God's kingdom is coming, but it has not yet come in all of its fullness. And the day will come when it does come in its fullness. But until such time, we are to pray and work for the coming of the kingdom of God. We're to speak out against injustice. We're to speak out against any and every form of evil and wickedness in this world, whether it's politically expedient or not. We are to take our stand as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ to pray for the coming of the kingdom looking at our very class and our very community, knowing full well that we can't bring them to the Lord. All the glory of God. So, here we pray. God, pray that your kingdom come. And out of this, plus we have money to pay for it. We're a fluent American. And we don't have to have any cash today, or we got to do a credit card. Put it out, put up a credit debt. A sense of our dependency upon God for the basic necessities of life is lost. Bread to feed my children and my family. Let us remember that God has sent His Son stolen from us, whatever it may be. And we have a spirit of bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness, then we will not be unrepentant or receive the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ and for us. Armor of God, walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, Satan himself cannot make